Welcome to the Canon Cast, a weekly podcast from the Canon, an SB Nation blog about the Columbus Blue Jackets. I am Will Chase, joined tonight by Pale Dragon. What's going on, PD?
I'm very cold and wet. Not liking this weather.
Yeah, you were just outside with the dog. Yeah, Rachel, how are you? How's it in your world?
It's gross. The rain, the frozen rain is making noises like I've never heard frozen rain make before. Yeah. Like, I thought that the trade-off for living in Central Ohio in February was that if the weather was below freezing, the bonus of that is that it doesn't rain. So you get snow, which I like snow, but whatever the hell is happening outside right now, I don't care for.
So we just had legitimately an ice storm on Saturday. And so yesterday my car was literally an ice cube. I had to just get all that off. It's like a balmy 40 degrees now. And it's going to be warmer tomorrow. But I just saw where they're having a crazy snowstorm in Texas, and it's 14 degrees in Dallas right now. Yeah.
I saw a 130 degree span between the hottest and coldest temperatures in, I don't know if it was North America or if it was the contiguous United States or what the range was, but it's 100 degrees in Florida right now. Like you just said, it's like sub freezing in Texas of all places. Climate change is on its way, people. Here we go.
We'll go ahead and get into it. So to recap a quick and very busy last week, the Blue Jackets, of course, beat the Hurricanes last Monday, who is also tonight's opponent. They split with the Blackhawks and they will face the Predators this upcoming week after, of course, when you all hear this, it'll be Monday, last night's game against the Hurricanes. But as I mentioned, lots of storylines last week, PD, and we'll start with, this feels like forever ago, but Patrick Laine being benched for reportedly mouthing off to an assistant coach. Both Tortorella and Laine talked in the immediate aftermath. Seems kind of like much ado about nothing now. Laine said he agreed with the decision. Also said it should impact his desire to stay with the club long term. But I guess it's easy to ask, what were your thoughts? But we've heard more about it since then. But I don't think it's really a huge deal now. When it happened, I was thinking, wow, like, what are you doing, Torts?
It's a very weird situation. It happened just, you know, not long after we talked last week on the podcast about how good Line A looked and how well things were going. And then, all of a sudden he's stapled to the bench. And of course, the first thought that goes to your mind is like, oh God, here we go again. Like another star player bench. This time it took him just four games to get to that point. And then of course there's the immediate speculation as to why, and people going over his shifts, like, oh, was he dogging it like Pierre-Luc Dubois was? You know, is he gonna want out too? The day after, when Torts was like, you know, we're past this, and when even Line A was saying the right things about, oh yeah, we're past this, I didn't necessarily believe that. Like, it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing for everyone to actually get past it. But I would say, given what went down, that the next two games for Laine went how you would want them to go if there were no issues. He was the most used forward in Thursday's game. He played 20 minutes, you know, did not have as much of an impact as the other players did in that crazy 6-5 game. He did have an assist. But, you know, he was being used, so Torts obviously trusted him to go back to him. And then on Saturday's game, he, in the first period, he had a goal and he had a fight, his first career fight, which, you know, has got to be something that Torts would love to see. So things seem to be okay now. It's definitely a situation to monitor. I think it's funny that once Brian Hedger reported that the reason for the benching was that he had mouthed off at an assistant, the collective reaction from Blue Jackets fans seemed to be, God, I hope it was Brad Larson. because that's someone who maybe deserves to have been mouthed off at. In seriousness, though, if that was really the reason, then I understand why Torts would have to have some discipline. You know, again, like with Dubois, you question, like, did it really have to be the entire game? Could it only have been a period and a half, something like that? But I get why he did it. But yeah, I hope that everyone can move on from this. I hope that this doesn't sour the Blue Jack experience on Line A. He seems to be still fine about it, you know, but it's kind of hard to read. He just seems like a kind of happy-go-lucky guy anyway. Yeah. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on going forward.
Yeah, I mean, PD, I think you nailed it with a lot of those points. Especially, I do feel like we've kind of been in this, unfortunately, circuitous situation where players and coaches, oh yeah, everything's fine, everything's good, and then it's clearly not. So, but I don't have that same vibe about this. I feel like this has just been a result of growing pains, Laine getting used to the expectations. I mean, he stepped into a really big shoes, and I feel like that's kind of being forgotten. Everyone expected him to just show up here and play like he was branded as being able to, and that's exactly what he's done. You know, I mean, we've, and that's what's been fun to watch about this. I also think that we are all looking back on this situation like with rose-colored glasses, because it's, they won the game despite Laine being bent the whole third period. And Roslovic right. scored the winning goal. It was kind of poetic almost. So it's like, yeah, Torts and them, they're all able to joke and be.
And it was a beautiful right. goal too.
It was seriously storybook. So that's what has been funny for me to watch all of this unravel in the past week, because so many different variables could have been different, where I think it really could have been way more negative than it turned out to be, which thank God, because the Jackets don't need any more of that hostility in their locker room. So I think it turned out fine. Laine seems, I just, again, think it's growing pains. His first fight, that was cool. Seems like it's just, you know, dirt off his shoulders type thing. Just got to brush it off and keep moving forward with Torts. And they both seem like they're willing to do that. So I'm not that worried about it. I think it's funny. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like so long ago now, and so much has changed or happened since then. But I was kind of eating up this drama because, I mean, we don't really want drama, but it's kind of fun and different. I mean, maybe depending on who you ask, it's fun or not. But, you know, it's with the whole Laine thing. I don't think we even know what he said. I don't know if it was just competitive juices flowing and just that kind of thing happens sometimes. But like you said, PD, it'd be kind of funny if he was telling Larson, like, hey, I know how to run a power play or something. Who knows? I don't know. But obviously, like you said, that was kind of the joke. But yeah, at least, you know, I was very impressed with the team's performance again. Well, for the most part, in their Thursday win against the Hawks, scoring and coming back, and then Saturday, at least with Laine in the first period, especially like seeing him, you know, it was a little nerve wracking watching him get into a fight, just because, you know, it's like, wow, we don't want this guy to get hurt or anything, but,
right. Yeah. Don't make a habit of it.
Right. Exactly. So speaking of the offense now, maybe not so much on Saturday, but it seems like maybe they're breaking out a little bit. Maybe they're figuring something out. We know Jack Roslovic, another guy we talked about last week, has just been on fire. 4 goals, 5 assists, and he didn't even play games with the Jets. So all of his actions coming with Columbus this season. Atkinson was the first star of the week last week, a 4-point performance in Chicago, 7 points on the week with 3 goals and 4 assists. So we were kind of talking about that, PD, in the Slack, about maybe Atkinson needs, whether it's Roslovic or a specific player, maybe a style of player to play with to get him going. But it's nice to see Atkinson among the players starting to score and maybe figure it out offensively, because if he gets going, obviously the team really needs that.
Yeah. We need their best players to be playing well. And for the start of the season, that was an issue. And Ken Atkinson is certainly a guy that you need to be contributing on offense. And yeah, since he got paired up with Roslovic, he seems like a new player. And Thursday was, you know, by far his best game of the season. That was a 4-point game from him. 1 goal, 3 assists, and all those assists came on goals that were, you know, part of a comeback in the third period. They scored 4 goals in the third period to win that game. So yeah, getting Atkinson going is huge. They're playing with confidence, you know. And Torts mentioned that he had a goal on Saturday where he deflected a Werenski shot. And Torts made the point that that was like that's the kind of fluky, lucky goal that you get when things are going your way, you know, and when you're in a slump, that's the kind of goal that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think Cam's feeling it. He's getting those bounces. I think another factor in the offense looking better is putting Kevin Stenlin in there as a regular, finally. I don't know what took this long, but, you know, he's a guy that, he seems like he's
every game, right?
Every game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's just a natural in there. I really like the way he plays. You know, he doesn't have like great speed or doesn't do anything like exceptionally well, but he does like all the things you need to contribute. He gets the best out of his wingers. So I'm glad to see him getting a chance. I'm glad to see him getting good wingers and in a top six role because like no one else is stepping up at center besides him and Roslovic. So just keep riding the hot hand.
Yeah, Stenlund is a right time and right place guy. Like, I don't feel like you can really quantify the ways that he contributes, except for 1 point per game. That's a pretty nice clip to be at right now. But, right, you don't look at him for any one thing or another. It's just like, yeah, he's always where he needs to be and when he needs to be there.
When I was recapping the game on Thursday and I was looking up Stenlund, because I know, PD, you keep saying free Stenlund, play Stenlund. And I happened to look him up and I was like, yeah, it's something like 4 games, but he gets a point in every game. And it's just, yeah, what's this guy need to do to prove that he can play? But, and maybe this will help with Stenlund, but obviously another topic from last week was Mikko Koivu retiring, maybe somewhat abruptly. It's unfortunate given the circumstances for why he retired. Just, I think his body just wasn't, I guess he just didn't feel like he could really play like he used to at the high level that he used to, obviously, throughout his tenure in the NHL. But with Koivu now retiring, that kind of opens up a spot for another body, obviously, on the roster, gives more playing time to somebody like a Stenlund, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you heard the news about Koivu retiring, were you kind of thinking a guy like Stenlund right away, or just in general, it's going to open up that spot or potentially give someone an opportunity to get regular playing time that otherwise might not be getting that, or help at least solidify the lineup a little bit more?
I don't know. I was sad. Which I think is cool and I think is a testament to Koivu's career and his age, frankly. I mean, oh my God, I feel like he is obviously relatively in like terms of human existence so young, but in NHL spectrum he's super old. So I thought it was really genuine of him to retire when he did, because for the reasons that he did. I think that the timing of it was hilarious because it just kind of exacerbated everything else that the Blue Jackets had going on. Just so y'all know, Mercury's in retrograde right now. That's what I'm attributing to a lot of these crazy Blue Jackets goings on. There was a new moon last week. Like, we are just in this transitional phase where I'm just like, of course, like, duh, retrograde. But anyways, that's how I've been. But
that actually explains a lot. Yeah,
I know. And so for Koivu to retire when he did, yes, I mean, my first thought was Stenlund, because like you said, he is proving game after game whenever he's in that contributes. So I think he's who I thought of immediately, but obviously Tortorella might have something else in mind. So,
yeah. Well, first of all, bless your heart for saying that Koivu is young on human terms, because he's just a year older than me. So.
Well, right. That's what I mean. I know he's not old. I would never, I mean, I'm old by hockey standards. Some of those players that are coming in make me feel like an old lady.
You're like 25.
I know. And some of the players are 19, 20. Y'all living.
Yeah, with no. Koivu is objective.
Living next to a multimillionaire house that was owned by someone 3 years younger than me really, really made me consider my age to wealth ratio. I'm like, wow. Yeah, okay. Sorry that, but I have been thinking about that a lot. Didn't mean to cut you off, PD. Go ahead, Koivu.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. No, Koivu is objectively ancient by hockey standards. That's fine. It was nice to have someone on the team that was older than me. So now it's back to like last year where everyone on the team is younger than me. And that's a rough time to hit in your life, a rough milestone. But I hate to admit it, but I was almost a little relieved when he retired,
right?
Because I felt like he was not super effective and that it would open up the door for other younger players with more upside to get into the lineup. Like, again, yeah, Stenlund, because I'm the self-proclaimed leader of the Stanlins. We stan Kevin Stenlund.
Love that.
So, which I feel bad for Koivu. I don't want to like celebrate his round, but he's had a great career. But I think everyone knew that it was time. You know, there's been a lot of, some people were like jumping to conspiracy theories, like, oh, what was the real reason why he stepped down? It's like, well, he said in the statement why. and it matches what we saw on the ice. So I think we can take it at face value that he thought his game wasn't up to it. Yeah. And from watching it,
and his game wasn't up to it. And the history of his injuries, you know, like it just all made perfect sense.
Yeah, he'd obviously lost a step because of his bum knee. Then he had COVID in training camp. Mm. He's away from his family. Like, he's not playing in front of fans. Like, I don't blame the guy for his heart not being in it. And, you know, his play was just, he wasn't adding too much on the ice. His final game, that Sunday game against Carolina, I noticed that he was very ineffective in that game. And the coaches noticed it too. He only played two shifts in the third period, and it was both early in the third period. And then he was a healthy scratch in Monday's game. And so I think that was kind of a signal that the coaches were seeing less of a role for him. And that's what must have led then to the conversation between him and Torts and Yarmo, like, all right, what's, you know, is there really a spot here or what? And, you know, it's got to be a real tough call to make for a player. Yeah. You know, heart, you know, we've been doing this, you know, her whole life has been hockey. And so to transition to something else, hopefully he stays in the game as a coach or in management or something. You know, hopefully he just finds happiness in retirement. You know, it's hard for any professional athlete to know when the right time is to retire, you know, because some guys, they go out on a good season, but then they're left with the nagging thought of, well, did I have more in me? And other guys, they stick around too long, and then so at least they know that they're done, but they've had those bad seasons there at the end of the record. You know, no one wants those Willie Mays on the Mets type seasons on their career, right. Or, you know. Maybe even Jordan on the Wizards, although he was still pretty good for the Wizards. But it wasn't quite the same, right. You know.
Yeah.
But no one wanted to see him play for a team like the Wizards.
Right.
But,
so what did you guys – I was curious what you guys made of – so, again, more crazy storylines that filled forever ago and almost drop off at this point. But I was just thinking about – remember the tweet? I think it was last Tuesday amidst everything else where – I don't know if it was speculation, but Aaron Portsline kind of put out there, like, he thought maybe towards this – wanting out himself. And it's just, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to make of that. I don't feel like Torts is trying to sabotage anything. I feel like he's coaching the way he always pretty much does. But did you think there was anything to that, or even think, like, is Torts trying to get fired by benching this guy or putting this guy in the lineup, or did you make anything of that?
No, that was really weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
That whole thing, because that doesn't seem like, Torch doesn't seem like the guy to self-sabotage like that. And I think also that theory doesn't hold up once we got the information about why the benching happened, because based on the reason, and everyone pretty much seemed to confirm what it was, you know, Torch was justified in doing that. So that was not Torch trying to screw things over. That was Torch basically following the kind of rules that he always does.
Playbook.
Okay, a player crossed the line. The player's going to make that. All right, woo. All right, game just started, and Cam Atkinson just got a goal, or maybe line A. So
Cam is back.
Good work from the first line. Woof. Gosh, I love this first line with Atkinson, line A, Roslovic. That's so good.
I was thinking they were in Columbus tonight. Wow.
Yeah. Last game of a road trip here. Just one game in Carolina. Yeah. So not a two-game series. Like
that feels so weird now to only have one game against an opponent. We're already trained to this two-game thing.
Exactly. But yeah, that was, line A shot, and Atkinson got the
rebound. I just saw it on my tape delay.
Oh, beautiful. Anyway, so back to the Torts thing. You know, and you know, Portsline has lots of sources. He generally has some pretty good information. So I don't know why he would just make that up out of thin air. So he must be basing it on something. I do believe that Torts could see this being near the end of his career.
Sure.
So, you know, his contract's up in the summer. I wouldn't be surprised if he decides that he's done, or if the team decides, hey, let's just go in a new direction, try something new. They can make a clean mutual break at that point. I think that's true. I don't think that Torts is going to force his way out prematurely. I think he's going to want to give this his all for the whole season, and then maybe decide after all this that that's all he has left to give.
Yeah, and so I know we were all a little probably annoyed. I know I was kind of annoyed Saturday when Foligno was out in overtime. I know you guys, you and Seeds, were talking about that in the Slack, but and I know it sounded like the idea was they wanted Foligno to take that face off, but you know, it's 3-on-3, it's overtime, it's wide open, you want your best scorers, you want one goal wins, and you don't necessarily equate that to Foligno or a guy like Foligno being out there in overtime, especially when you have Patrick Kane and DeBrincat and this firepower on the other side.
Yeah. Well, in 3-on-3 overtime, I think a clear lesson should be you got to put your best, most skilled players out there. So obviously, yeah, I was happy to see Laine out there because he deserved to be. But yeah, why not Jack Roslovic out there or Max Domi or someone like that? You know, yeah, Foligno, maybe you trust him most to win the faceoff, but there are guys that are going to be able to do more things with the puck when they're out there than Foligno. He should not be your first option in there. And then he screwed up. He made two huge mistakes there. He did a nice play to get the puck from Kane, but then he made a horrible pass that turned the puck back over. Then he went after Kane when Jones already had him barked, which left DeBrincat wide open. That's just a whole bunch of screw-ups, and hopefully Torts learns from that and doesn't send Foligno out for the next overtime and sends guys out there that might do some different things with the puck.
Pretty much everything that PD said. I mean, yeah, I know that like the discourse lately has been, we need to stop giving guys, you know, just because of the amount of time that they've been on the team and because how much we pay them and because whatever, we need to stop giving them opportunities over the younger guys who are maybe better cut out for the task. Now, my argument on Nick Foligno would be that randomly, and maybe I will say unexpected by me, he's been producing this season. So I guess from that standpoint, I understand why he's in the power play. And like, I get it. I feel as though right now in like Blue Jackets world, everything and everyone is hypersensitive. Just because, like you said, I feel like we've already been kind of tricked into this like super crammed, super repetitive, almost like Groundhog Day season, where I feel like every week is the same week as last, because essentially it is. I feel like we're playing the same couple of teams and I'm hearing the same names over and over again because I'm watching two games in a row instead of one. Like, it has just been kind of disorienting. So I'm not hung up on Nick Foligno being in the overtime. Would I love to see Roslovic for sure, like in a 3-on-3 situation? I think that could be productive, as do I think Nick Foligno is capable of. Oh, everyone's gonna roast me. I don't even care. That's how I feel. Everyone's gonna be like,
no. Actually, the thing is, I think you're right. I think this has been a good season for Foligno overall. He's been producing more offense than he has the last couple of seasons while still providing the defense.
Somehow, like it doesn't make sense, but that's just what's happening.
Right.
Yeah, but I also think that it's what the coaches need to be doing. It's not just about the number of minutes that each player plays. I think it's about putting each player in the position to play their best hockey, put them in roles that fit them, which, so that means, you know, Foligno and Jenner, keep them on the wing, not center, because they're not good at center. And, you know, don't necessarily put Foligno out there in 3-on-3 overtime where any mistake that he makes is going to be more costly. You know, put a guy in 3-on-3 overtime who has the skill set that fits 3-on-3 overtime. So you want guys that are fast and you want guys that have good puck skills. And, you know, that's just not necessarily Foligno's thing.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
So they put him in a position to fail rather than a position to succeed, I think.
Right. I was just going to say players need to be set up to succeed, and we're not necessarily always seeing that from this coaching staff. Sorry, Will. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny to me, I guess, because it seems like, you know, we will repeatedly get on Torts for playing certain veterans over and over when they make key mistakes, but then the young, as I put it, the young fun guy makes a mistake, and it's like, oh, he's benched for the rest of the game, or his ice time diminishes, or he won't play the next game. And, you know, it's like, I'd rather lose games with, you know, a guy like Texier or whoever, name the guy, versus because Foligno was out in overtime or Boone Jenner or something like
that. That's fair.
You know, and I was also wondering if you guys have thought about this too, or noticed it too, but Zach Werenski, for instance, I think on Saturday he had a turnover that resulted in a Blackhawks goal, but I'd rather be Werenski out there than Foligno, because I know Werenski can provide the offense too.
Right.
He's out tonight. Now, PD, you said Torts was talking about Werenski being out tonight because basically he's still getting over his injury. They don't want to rush him or him risk further injury.
Yeah, Torts, yeah, this was he on his pregame interview with Bob McElligott. He was saying that he felt that Werenski's skating wasn't up to where it usually is, and their worry is that they don't want this injury to become one of those things that's a nagging injury that bugs him for weeks and weeks. So if they could give him a game off tonight, give him some more time to rest up, that he'll be closer to healthier later on. So he didn't give a time frame on that. So hopefully it's a matter of just keeping him fresh for Thursday. Obviously, the sooner they can get him back in, the better. Although him coming out got Dean Kukan back in the lineup, which I think is a good thing. Andrew Peak has stayed in the lineup, which is a good thing. He has looked phenomenal in the games that he's played, which makes you question why was he not in sooner. They finally put Gabriel Carlson on waivers,
which he cleared,
not surprisingly. And nothing against him personally. I just feel like there are better options on the roster, and those are the ones who should get a chance to play.
Stephen Matteau is back.
Yeah, that's which is weird. Again, they Torts talked about Grigorenko and says he wants Grigorenko to play a top six role, and he doesn't figure out how to do that. Torts doesn't know how to get him into the top six yet, which I can think of some ways to do that. But I would agree that Grigorenko is wasted on a fourth line role. Again, that's not putting him in a position to succeed. So if you want a fourth line grinder, yeah, I think Matteau can do that. I'm kind of excited to see Matteau again. And the Jackets looks like they scored again, maybe. Oh, it's an own goal. Wow.
Uh-oh.
That's embarrassing.
Was that Jenner's goal?
Hey, we'll take it.
Yeah, I think it's maybe assigned to Jenner. Oh. But yeah, it looks like a Hurricane knocked it in.
James Reimer is the goalie for Carolina, and I thought it was kind of funny from Torts because I don't think we really hear him talk about other teams like this, but he said something like he was talking about, I think it was Torts, and I know it was Carolina talking about, he thought they were a really good team. He was like, if they get some goaltending, that could help take them further.
Jeez.
Which I know, it was just kind of funny to me though, because it seemed like a shot, even if it wasn't intentional. It was kind of like, yeah, they get some goaltending, they could be, but I know it's Peter Mrazek, right? Isn't that who they have? Who's out right now with a broken, I want to say,
correct,
surgery on a finger or a thumb or something like that.
Yeah, so, I think.
And then, he'd been really good to start the season too. But yeah, Reimer is not up to be the everyday guy.
Right, yeah. And of course, their backup is basically, I forget his name now, the one we were talking about, who is from Ohio.
Neander or something.
Nedeljkovic.
That's right.
From Parma, Ohio.
Exactly. Yep. Shout out Parma. Ohio players. Jack Roslovic beat him last week. But no, it's in general, I think it's really cool, though, to have other Ohio-born players and people from Ohio in the league. So really cool to see. Good for him. But yeah, it's a good point. I mean, obviously, Reimer's good, but he's not, like you said, he's not starter material. So, or at least on an every night basis. I think he can obviously hold his own every now and then for sure. So
I've gotten a couple questions about the sourdough bread. So here's the thing. I have a starter that I can't replicate. I have to give it to you, to anybody who wants it. So maybe we can work something out. I don't know if people are in Columbus. It's literally in a Ziploc bag. But I can't.
Well, I have my own starter. Will my own starter not work for this?
So I believe that whatever this is, so it's a cinnamon sourdough, and you feed it with sugar. So the starter itself, over a period of 10 days, when you ferment it, it becomes sweet. Like, I don't know exact. I don't. That's the thing. I don't understand the science. My aunt just gave me a bag of this starter when I was home for Christmas, and it's just been multiplying. So I am not, I just wanted to explain that I'm not withholding this recipe.
Bonkers.
I'm not withholding it from anybody. I just don't, I have a starter, but I don't know how to make it. So I'd have to give one to you. So anyways, maybe we can figure out the logistics of that. If anybody is really seriously invested in learning how to make this, I can. And then, yeah, you just have to feed it for, you feed it twice over 10 days, and you have to mush it, and it makes all this air. So you have to release the air from the bag. It's crazy. It's science. I don't get it. I studied journalism in school. I the last time I took chemistry was in high school. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on in that bag. I don't, but it turns out it tastes good when I bake it.
Maybe David Savard should learn how to cook or do sourdough. Cause I had the egregious turnover he just had is it's a no-no.
And it looks also like possibly another offsides on a Carolina goal. Right. So
that might work out.
Let's see. Oh, geez. But yeah, I was working on my sourdough starter last night. I had it in the fridge because I wasn't using it, but I was making some sourdough chocolate chip cookies, so I needed to get it out for that. So
wow.
Now I'm working on feeding it again.
I have never heard of sourdough chocolate chip. Okay, I'm going to have to try some of those. I'll exchange for a loaf of my cinnamon bread. Okay.
I will set some aside for you. Absolutely.
Okay, amazing. I wanted to talk about one other thing that absolutely devastated me this weekend. And that was learning via Instagram story that Max Domi has a girlfriend. Or at least he posted a picture.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
He's my crush this year. He is. I just think the world. I just think the world of him. I don't know if I have one.
Yeah, I didn't know that he did either.
No, yeah. So, anyways, Max Domi is my crush.
Well, Gavrikov, right?
Oh yeah, but he's married. So, like, I'm not into that. Like, I admire him from like a friendly, you know. But like Max Domi, I was like, oh, like he is cute. As far as I know, his Instagram is just of his dog. So I was like, okay, cool. And then he posted a picture of a girl yesterday for Valentine's Day. And I was like, so anyways, that was my high and low for the week. My cinnamon bread and Max Domi having a girlfriend. Big low.
not to change the subject, but I love all the tweets right now. Shout out Seeds. Bench Savard already. Jesus Christ. Brian Hedger. What is Savard doing on that one? Ouch. And then Michael Neff also was like, Savard, what the hell? on that play.
Yeah. So if Werenski is good to go later this week, I think they need to seriously consider scratching Savard.
Mm-hmm.
This does need to be a permanent benching, but like he has not been on his game this year. If nothing else, just sit him to give him a chance to like rest up a little bit. Maybe that's what he needs. But he's been really rough all year. On Saturday, I noticed that, you know, he and Gavrikov were split up, and Gavrikov and Peak had great, they were doing great together. Savard and Delzato, not so much. So it's very clear who the weak spot of that pairing had been. So yeah, Savard, they need to do something with him because he keeps hurting the team.
And maybe this goal,
interesting.
Maybe they'll take this goal off the board, which would sort of even out the egregious mistake from last week when, of course, Columbus got screwed, but you know.
It says call overturned. So
I'm on delay, so.
All right.
So. I haven't even started watching yet. Karma. I need to go do that.
Well, yeah, go do that because that's all we had for this week. We'll be back next week. In fact, we'll have a special guest next week. More on that. Keep it a surprise. But follow along, of course, at CBJ Cannon on Twitter, jacketscannon.com, and we'll see you all next week. Subscribe to the Cannon Cast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you can catch every episode. Leave us a review and a rating, and as always, we welcome your thoughts and feedback. Go to jacketscannon.com for more Blue Jackets coverage from us and follow us on Twitter at CBJ Cannon. Our theme music is the song Green Eyes by Angela Pirelli and the Howlin' Moons. Check out angelapirelli.com for more music and show dates.